Good afternoon and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. This is episode 303 on the 10th of January. I'm your host today, Harry, joined by my guest, Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about some things, including the red pilling of Majid Nawaz and ultimate deplatforming.
I think it's Majid.
Majid. Oh, yeah. Is that? I've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time.
Well, when I met him, that's exactly how I pronounced it. He's corrected me sharply, so I was like, okay, fine.
Okay, fine, whatever. he's been the deplatforming and red-pilling of Majid Nawaz.
Yep.
2022's impending media pundit bloodbath should be an interesting one. And also the mysterious case of Bear Shelves Biden. But before we get into that, we've got some announcements to make. First of all, we do currently have... Would you like to take this part?
Yeah, okay, yeah. We're looking for a web developer, someone who can be a full-time in-house web developer, who will also be able to develop an app for lotuseaters.com. Just so you know, it will be based in Swindon. You'll have to be present at the office. So no one from Canada or America saying, I know you said this, but it's like, there is no but. You have to be able to work.
Change the deal.
But we would like to hear from you if you think you'd be a suitable candidate.
Yep, so there's that opportunity up there if anybody wants to snap that one up. We've got my new latest video, The Cultural Anonymity of the Modern City, which is talking about my experiences going back home up north and contrasting the landscapes of both one of my favourite places to go, Nantwich, which is right next to my old hometown up in Cheshire, contrasting them with Liverpool and Manchester and the... as you can see there, the anonymous sort of barren architectural landscape that is becoming modern cities, and how it's all starting to feel, well, not starting to feel, it all feels so artificial and displaced.
I just want to say, I think you're totally undervaluing the quality of this video as well. This is a really, really good video because, like, you make the really good point that look at the glass steel towers. That could be any country in any world, any place in the world at any time.
I make the point that...
It's totally devoid of context.
You could drop somebody in London and drop them in Dubai, and apart from maybe one or two cultural landmarks that they might see, it would be very hard to tell them apart, because all of the architecture is just becoming these big, empty, synthetic glass buildings that are breeding a particular type of life. But then if we carry on, we've also got our latest contemplations from Josh on the part two of The Culture and Politics of Russia, which he's been diving into with Bo. I've not had a chance to listen to it.
I haven't had a chance to watch it, but then I basically was listening to it as they were recording it, so it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Go
of course.
And check it out.
Both very knowledgeable on the subject, so very interesting. Check that out. Got another premium epochs between Carl and Bo talking about... you pronounce it
Lycurgus of Sparta.
Lycurgus of Sparta, which I'm sure, as with all of your discussions with Bo, is very interesting.
One of the things we're doing is a kind of look at all of the legendary founders of the various states of the ancient world, because the stories they tell themselves are revealing about the kind of civilization that produces them, right? And so, you know, with Theseus, it's this kind of mishmash cope of all these different things they pull together and go, no, we're legitimate guys, trust us. But with Lycurgus, it's completely different, because he's not divine. He's not inspired by the gods. What he is a communist revolutionary.
And
he,
really?
Oh, absolutely. And he turns Sparta into essentially a communist dictatorship. And it's actually mad how Sparta turns into this weird and, I mean... awful, awful place compared to like a regular city. It's a fascinating chat, this one. This is one of my favourites.
Yeah. Well, it's true what they say, that nothing is new under the sun. All of these old ideas are just being repackaged and recycled for new people. So give that a listen if you're interested in what you've just heard there. And finally, just shout out that we now have over 50,000 followers on Getter. Thank you to everybody who supported us and followed us over there. And if you've not followed us over there yet, if you've not got an account on Getter, get on Getter and give us a follow. Thank you very much. So now we've gone through all that. Oh, thank you, John. Now we've gone through all that, it's time to get into the news. So Majid Nawaz has been deplatformed off of his LBC show, probably due to the gradual, well, I don't know if it's gradual, the red pilling that he's been putting out on Twitter. Just a reminder for everybody who may not be familiar with Majid, I'm going to get his name wrong so many times here. He is a, would you say classical liberal?
Oh, yeah.
Classical liberal commentator who's been on LBC for a few years, hosting his show there. Also, the former head or co-founder of the Quilliam Foundation, which I'm not particularly familiar with, but it seems to have been in a good cause.
Yeah, well, it's an anti-radicalization charity, or non-profit, that was designed to prevent Muslim radicalization, frankly. That
sounds like a very good cause to me. But earlier on last year, this sadly appears to have shut down. As you can see here in this article, Majid Nawaz has announced the closure of the Quilliam Foundation due to financial difficulties caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Nawaz, who co-founded the organization in 2007, said, "Due to the hardship of maintaining a non-profit during COVID lockdowns, we took the tough decision to close Quilliam down for good. This was finalized today. A huge thank you to all of those who supported us over the years. We're now looking forward to a new post-COVID future." In 2018, an academic at the University College London said the public shouldn't trust the Quilliam Foundation report on grooming gangs, and especially its claim that 84% of grooming gang offenders are Asian, which seems like one of those statements.
Seems like a low estimate.
I was going to say. Also a statement that they put out and they just don't actually have any evidence to refute it with. They just go, just don't trust it.
I mean, you can look at the convictions of the people who are the members of the grooming gangs and just look through them and point to the person who isn't an Asian.
There are those fantastic, like you say, the collages of all of the faces, and they all share a few distinct characteristics with one another. So
what do all these Muhammads have in common?
But Majid obviously is a man who is not unfamiliar with controversy. Sad to see that this organisation is closed, but those are just the realities of it. But obviously he'd been getting in trouble for a while. And since COVID began, he's also been quite hardline on his anti-lockdown stances.
Just to be clear as well, the reason that Majid is heavily anti-lockdown is, I think, because of his classical liberal ideology.
Yes.
As I've maintained for the same reasons for the entire time, the government simply doesn't have the authority to shut down our businesses and to lock us all in our homes. And so I've been completely supportive of Majid's perspective on this, to be honest.
Yeah, as have I. He's been very interesting and very, very illuminating on a number of subjects on his Twitter, if you've been following him there. And on Getter as well now, he's got.
He's still got his Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably best to follow him on Twitter, on Getter, if you want a safer bet for him sticking around there, especially given some other stuff that we're going to be discussing. But you can see here on the 18th of December, he was attending the London protests against the potential lockdown restrictions that the government were considering at the time. He actually chose not to appear on his LBC show that day, so I can't imagine that pleased the producers over there, but he was tweeting about it, saying London is rising and we are coming. He's not just been eager to participate in the English lockdowns as well. If you move along, we can see he's also been posting stuff about other protests that have been going on all over the world, really. He's got this one from Hamburg, Germany, where there was masses of people showed up to protest against lockdowns that are going on over there. So he's a man who stands by his convictions, by the looks of it, and he's also been very vocal about it on his LBC show as well. So if you move along, you can see him tweeting about when he was speaking to a Holocaust survivor who was also against the COVID mass hysteria, as he's putting it, and had labelled the hysteria the real pandemic and called for mutual respect and choice in how we live, which is pretty excellent that he managed to get someone from... He pulled a full... Gina Carano there.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically with the comparison. So really it was only a matter of time until somebody decided they wanted to shut him up.
Well, he's been quite off the reservation when it comes to the establishment narrative on COVID.
Yes.
That's Majid's problem here, and that's why he's being kicked out of the club.
Exactly. And if we move along, we can just see some more stuff that's been happening with him. Now it's Meta, the Facebook Meta-owned Instagram doing what it does best. My account has been suspended. So you can see here that his account had been suspended twice and it had been deleted in the past as well. So whatever he'd been putting out there, Zuckerberg was not happy with it. Once again, just another example of some mainstream media silencing there. If we move along again, you can see some of the other stuff that he was saying, which has probably been labelled him a different type of extremist to the ones that he was combating in Quilliam. TikTok, Pfizer, we are coming, which is in response to the FDA's rejecting of the 75-year delay on vaccination data.
No, it was a judge that rejected it.
Oh, was it a judge? Oh, yeah, yes.
The FDA wanted the Pfizer vaccination data to be locked up for 75 years.
I wonder why.
Exactly. So all of the people involved will have been long dead. But apparently in 8 months' time, we're going to be getting access to it.
That'll be very interesting.
I imagine there are going to be some bombshells in there, to be
honest.
We'll
have to take a look at that.
That won't be allowed to be spoken about on social media, because that's how a democracy works.
Absolutely not. But it's not just anti-COVID lockdown and some vax skepticism that's been getting him in trouble. He's also been a bit of a Jan 6
that's right
type.
Yeah. So we just for YouTube, we have to make it very apparent that we believe that Joe Biden is not just the legitimate president, but the most legitimate president
ever
in all of human history.
We've seen the numbers.
He certainly won a free and fair election. Carry on.
Yes. But here's...
Majid Nawaz is obviously totally wrong about all of this.
Yes, of course. We're not condoning anything Majid says. But here is him posting a picture of Ashley Babbitt, who was the only person to die on site at the Capitol Hill insurrection.
Because she was shot in the throat.
Yes. Stating that the family of Ashley Babbitt will see justice through due process. R.I.P. Ashley Babbitt, with an image of her, I think, probably taken from around the time that it happened. So, you know, Majid kind of poking the hornet's nest a little bit there with his support of...
And to be clear as well, Majid wasn't a Trump supporter. I mean, he's a Liberal Democrat Party member, I believe.
Oh, really?
So he's not a Trump supporter, but, you know, he's not wrong that this is an injustice and needs to be rectified.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley Babbitt, the only person who died on site. Have we heard anything regarding the person who did it?
Oh, he was exonerated.
Oh, yeah, of course he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yep. He's also been going up against Bill Gates and other types. If we go ahead, every time this man strokes further COVID hysteria, remember his major conflicts of interest. He literally profits from your fear. And if you go down on here, you can see this Times article saying that Bill Gates and Soros had bought out a UK COVID test company, which is very interesting news.
Majid really going for those interesting places.
Yeah, but he is very good at this. If you do follow him on his Twitter or Getter, he's very good at collecting all of this information and putting it out in basically on threads as bullet points, just divulging all of this information that would probably be hard to track down yourself otherwise. So
this is the thing though as well, this sort of information doesn't get like round media coverage. It gets one article that just gets buried in the constant flow of information.
Yeah, so we need people like Majid to keep reminding us that, hey, this happened before...
And collect it all together.
Yeah, the 24-hour media news cycle will just try and make, like you say, bury this stuff. Yeah. But as you can imagine, poking these hornet's nests and going where these topics are verboten has been getting him in a little bit of trouble with certain MPs and other broadcasters. Here's Labour MP Chris Bryant tagging LBC and saying, this man is dangerous.
Right. So a politician is, what, intimidating a broadcaster?
Or? Intimidating a member of the free press.
It seems that way. I mean,
it's not a particularly liberal position to take, is it?
Well, no, but he's Welsh Labour, Rhonda Bryan. He's Welsh Labour, and so he's a communist. So it's not surprising that he's targeting the Liberal for deplatforming when the Liberal, as you can see by Majid's tweet, is talking about he's complaining, we are witnessing a global palace coup that suspends our rights under the guise of an emergency that has been proven to be manipulated by a network of fascists who seek a new world order governed by technocratic corporatism. Well, how's he wrong?
Whether or not you think that's dangerous, I'm sure every single thing that Majid says there, he probably has receipts.
Oh, absolutely.
For every single point that he's bringing up.
But who is that dangerous to? Well, it's dangerous to those agents of the technocratic New World Order, as he puts it, because he's going against their narrative. He's exposing what they're doing. Yeah, he's dangerous to them.
Yes.
He's not going to hurt any regular people. There's not a threat to the public. You know.
Yeah, and just in case you're worried that those technocratic corporatists are partisan, they're not, because if we move along, supposedly conservative Ian Dale posted this on his Twitter as well, once again.
Before we go on, this is the thing, isn't it? You know, the technocratic corporatists just don't, they're both wings of the same bird. It's like they are the bird.
It is a bipartisan tyranny.
Yes.
You could describe it as.
It's not even that. Like, the partisan politics, this is a step above that. This is way beyond partisan politics. These people own the world, you know. People like Ian Dale are just in their line, and they know it.
Yeah, they're shills. In 11 years on LBC, I've never publicly called out a fellow presenter, but I can't stand by while this sort of irresponsible and dangerous propaganda is spread by someone who ought to know better. Shame on you, Majid. Shame on you. Boosters save lives. Scientific fact. I really love the sort of doom and gloom tolling of the bell.
Yeah.
Shame! Shame! On Majid. Once again, I don't see any sort of... whereas Majid would probably once again have some receipts for what he's talking about, some evidence. I once again don't see any actual refutations of what he's saying. You're just saying, shh, you're being dangerous.
But I mean, is he even saying that he's wrong, right?
Well, that's
so
the thing.
Murchard says, you know, based on the above, so he's obviously given a thread full of information, I believe fully scientific and verified concerns around potential crimes against humanity, I have no choice but to become a conscientious objector in solidarity with the unvaccinated. So he's had vaccinations.
Well,
so
yeah.
It's not like he's an anti-vaxxer or something, right? They can't call him that. And he's not saying that the boosters don't work. He's saying he's not getting any in solidarity with those people who are unvaccinated, because the people who are unvaccinated are being treated like second-class citizens, which Majid, as a liberal, can't tolerate. And Ian Dale's acting like he's saying the boosters have no effect on COVID or anything like that, but nobody's saying that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they do. You know, and so Ian Dale is not even addressing his point, which is embarrassing for Ian, to be honest.
But you can see there as well the fact that it's just a bit of a pile-on, given that Ian is a fellow presenter mm-hmm. on LBC, which will inevitably put some pressure on the higher-up producers within LBC to say, okay, if this is going to be causing conflicts and tensions, we're going to have to weigh up which one is worth more to us, which one makes us look better in the mainstream by pushing the narratives that we know are the correct ones.
Yes, the
correct narratives. And as a result...
Halal narratives.
Yes, as a result, LBC have come out with this just the other day saying Majid Nawaz's contract with LBC is up very shortly, and following discussions with him, Majid will no longer present a show on LBC with immediate effect. We thank Majid for the contribution he has made to LBC and wish him well. So you can see there, he's gone. He's
it's
done
a
on LBC.
Very interesting statement,
immediate.
Isn't it?
It is a very interesting statement because they're trying to definitely frame it like, no, this was completely mutual.
Oh, yeah.
Majid and I, we had a discussion with him. We were in many discussions with him, and he just agreed. He just agreed to be taken down off of this platform where he gets to speak to thousands of people.
Well, probably millions. But,
yes.
But he's agreed to leave with immediate effect, consensually.
Hmm.
Why would he agree to immediately leave? Why not have a month's grace period?
He agreed to be escorted out by our security.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But why would it be immediate? Why not? Okay, well, he's going to be on for the next month and then he's going to leave because that's how the contract works.
Yeah, why would it not just go up to the end of the contract?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Majid has had some things to say about this himself. If we move along, you can see this is before that. This is just his direct response to that tweet saying that I refuse to go quietly into the night. Please become a paid subscriber to my Substack newsletter. I'll post there soon, but forgive the basic setup for now. I have a wife and child to support, and my show was our family's only source of income.
Hmm.
So it seems rather unlikely, you could say, that he would choose to willingly step down from his family's only source of income, wouldn't you say?
Does seem a little bit unlikely, doesn't it?
And also, if you are interested, of course, do go and subscribe to him on Substack. I've not checked out any of his content there, but I'm sure it's very interesting and I'm sure it's very well researched. But there was a follow-up to that, and I thought we'd get this up on Getter, just to once again point out he's got a Getter. You're probably safer off following him there. Points of information. One, I had been scheduled to appear tomorrow. So there's the immediate effect.
Yes. Mm.
Two, I did not quit. Three, my contract expires in April 2022. So it's not even like it was, oh, you've only got a few weeks left, let's discuss.
No, he's got months left.
Yeah. He was supposed to have three more months of presumably causing LBC internal trouble.
Yes.
And external trouble as well.
Yeah, well, external trouble, yeah, getting politicians on their case and things like this. Yeah, like clearly Majid has been ruffling too many feathers.
Yes, so LBC... obviously distorting the facts with their initial statement, shall we say. But let's see what the reaction to this has been. So we've got some random Twitter ghouls, stating things like Majid Nawaz and his Quilliam Foundation played a massive part in legitimizing and encouraging the stereotypical and sensationalist framing of Muslims and grooming gangs. He should not have had a mainstream media platform to begin with. Okay. Psycho.
Sorry, are we not supposed to have like
Is it just normal?
Yeah, is it just normal that the in these communities you get grooming gangs that seem to be ethnically motivated against the English girls?
Sorry, is it not tolerant of us to not tolerate this raping going on?
Sorry.
Okay. And then there's been some other statements from people saying things like, I guess Majid Nawaz will be screaming, cancelled! And then it's off to Talk Radio or GB News to spread his toxic trash.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can only hope
so. Good opportunity for Talk Radio or GB News, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, there are parts of the partisan media who have decided to latch onto this. We've got a few clips from Navarra Media's coverage of it, where they're... well, let's just see what they have to say on the whole thing.
Please pay close attention to my timeline. I'm trying to show you in real time how you're being targeted by state psyops and manipulative behavioral psychology. I see it from afar. I'm showing you with evidence in every post, more evidence than my detractors' post combined. And then we've got an out of place love heart. We'll keep showing you more of these tweets, which kind of explains why this parting of ways has happened. This is when he blamed Antifa for the Capitol riots on the 6th of January, 2021. Spicy. So he says here, reports on protesters who stormed Capitol Hill being Antifa infiltrators are becoming impossible to ignore. If true, these may fuel a sense of betrayal among Trump supporters further. I am dismayed that pundits are not viewing this civil strife through a conflict resolution lens.
Okay, so they're literally just reading out his tweets with no real explanation for what's wrong about them.
But that was a misframing anyway. He said, you know, if there are reports that are coming in, if this is true, we should be trying to come together and have this conflict resolution lens. He's not saying Antifa did it. And the thing is, there was a chap called Jacob Sullivan who was arrested and then released after storming the Capitol. There's lots of video of him doing it.
There's a few of them.
He's a Black Lives Matter activist, a professional Black Lives Matter activist. So it's like, what's he doing there?
Are we allowed to mention, I think his name's Ray Epps, the man who was seen filmed the day before in a MAGA hat trying to encourage a number of other people to
go and do it. Yeah, exactly. So it's not that there isn't anything suspect about January the 6th. But again, like, Michael's not even like criticizing. He's not saying he's wrong. He's just saying, like, can you believe he's saying these things? It's like, well, I mean, is he wrong, though?
Yeah. That's the question. And being a journalist who should hold themselves to certain standards, is your job to refute what he's saying.
He's not a journalist. He is a communist propagandist, and he knows it. I would be surprised if Michael Walker would even dare call himself a journalist.
I'm trying to hold them to some form of standard.
I know it's a mistake.
I kind of want it so that, partisan or not, that you at least care about the truth. But that's the thing.
Well, they don't care about
These people don't care about the truth.
The truth is anti-communist.
And you can see what happens when they see somebody trying to talk about what they consider to be the truth with evidence to back it up. If you'd play this clip.
Let's try and be clear about what's happened. And I don't think this is an exaggeration. Many of the things that you just highlighted there in those tweets resemble the kinds of rhetoric and vocabulary you see from QAnon.
There you go. Aaron Bastani, I think that's how you pronounce his name, deciding to correlate what Majid has been saying the whole time with all of his evidence with QAnon. Just label and dismiss.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, we don't endorse QAnon.
Of course not.
Frankly, I don't understand what they're even coming on about. no, I don't.
Neither do I, to be honest.
It's really esoteric, and I'm just like, okay, I just don't care. But the point is, look at what Aaron's done here. He's just been like, oh, same kind of vocabulary. I mean, they both speak English, if that's what you're saying, Aaron. But the same. Essentially, what he's saying is this is an area of thought that is closed off. You know, it's progressive to close off this area of thought. You're not allowed to explore it. You're not allowed to look at evidence in it. You're not allowed to even mention it, or else you get called QAnon.
Yes. He's just taking Twitter tactics into the real world there. Then
it's progressive tactics.
Oh, yeah, that's
a good
point.
It's how they stop themselves from exploring entire, you know, issues that come up.
It's the equivalent of the parent going, don't do that. Why not? Because I say so.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to treat all of us like the children in the situation. Yeah.
Same thing with the grooming gangs with the other Muslim guy as well. It's like, well, this is just sensationalism. It's like, I think there are victims involved, you know?
Yeah, have you spoken to them? Yeah. No, of course not. And then there's this other wonderful clip which sums up Navarra Media being completely detached from any semblance of reality.
They've had Katie Hopkins, they've had Farage, now Majid Nawaz. And for me, really, that tells you something about that station more broadly, which is if Britain does have a Fox News, it's LBC. Because it's people often just saying the strangest things.
I know.
Live on air and kind of dropping opinion. And it's got no basis in sort of journalistic research or original news gathering.
See, that's why I tried. That's why I try and hold them to standard, because they're criticizing others for their journalistic research.
That is an amazing statement.
I know. And also, LBC would be much more based if they were like Fox News, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm surprised. Like, he thinks LBC is more Fox News than GB News.
So, I mean, just according to that statement, okay. But let's see what other kind of presenters LBC have decided to keep on. Who are the front-facing representatives of this British Fox News? Like Mr. James O'Brien.
I hate James O'Brien.
I know. Have you ever taken a thumb through his books that he's got?
I've never looked at his books, but I've listened to his... Like, John makes us listen to the show when we drive down to London.
What?
It's insufferable.
John, what's wrong with you?
Well, that's because you're a bigot.
Yes.
Sorry,
go. For anyone unfamiliar with James O'Brien, I think he could be succinctly summed up as a fart-huffing, condescending prick.
Yeah.
And he is obviously a real Fox News type. And let's see some of that Fox News-style reporting. This is a clip I found from his show where he was talking to someone after the Black Lives Matter taking the knee issue that was going on with the footballers earlier on this year, where somebody called in to say, actually, I'm not particularly happy with these footballers taking a black nationalist communist stance in front of...
Weirdly.
On behalf of the English people. And let's see what James O'Brien's response to that was.
Tom is in Hampstead. Tom, what would you like to say?
Good morning. I was actually at the Riverside yesterday, and I booed the knee.
Okay. Why do you think the players are doing it?
I know the reasons that they've said that they're doing it.
So you booed that, then?
No.
So you booed the reasons that they haven't said?
My undertone is that when I hear the word Black Lives Matter, I think of burning buildings in America, attacking the police and violent protests.
Yes.
So I'm not...
Have you tried not to?
sorry?
Have you tried not to think that? Have you tried to think about the words and what they actually mean?
One of my aunties actually was killed during a Black Lives Matter protest last year.
And that's appalling. But have you tried thinking about what the words actually mean?
What?
No, James. I keep thinking about their actions because actions speak louder than words, James, you pillock.
Yeah,
bloody hell.
He goes on to make this ridiculous comparison, like, well, if I came into a room and you were on one knee, it's not for me to tell you what that knee means. Okay, if I came into a room and you were Sieg Heiling, what does that say? Am I not allowed to tell you what that means?
Yeah.
But yeah, also, once again, the absolute disgusting dismissal of that man's personal tragedy. Well, your personal suffering is not as important to me as my pet political cause. Mm. Coming from the empathetic left, as always. But then just to point out as well, LBC, as much as Navarra Media tries to make it sound like, oh, they had Katie Hopkins, they had Nigel Farage, they have a track record for just getting rid of these people when they become politically inconvenient for them.
Yep.
After Nigel Farage was kicked off of LBC.
Oh, yeah.
After
yeah.
he was criticising the Marxist Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, where would he get those ideas from? Maybe they're founders,
yes.
Patrice Cullors. Nigel Farage has continued his attacks on Black Lives Matter protesters hours after LBC pulled the plug on his radio show amid growing staff anger at his controversial
comments. I imagine
comments.
There was probably staff anger about Majid's comments too.
I bet there was. So, it doesn't really matter who the presenters of LBC are, whether they've got, you know, people who say that they lean more to the right or the left or whatever. The staffers all seem to be a bunch of rabid leftists who are going to throw a fit if you say anything that comes out of their approved narrative. They also dropped Katie Hopkins in the past for comments that she tweeted out on Islamic terrorism. How controversial. So I would say LBC, now that they don't have Majid, is completely worthless, not worth listening to. And just to sum it up, John put this out, LBC after firing Majid is now just NPC, which is a good place to end it, I'd say.
Yeah. So there appears to be something of an impending bloodbath in 2022 among the media, the mainstream media pundits and broadcasters in the United States. And I thought it was worth going through just a bit of very recent history as to what has been happening. Because people like Project Veritas have been going at them very, very hard. Godspeed. And it looks like it's having bearing fruit. So you may remember that the beginning of December, CNN fired Chris Cuomo. I love this. Written by Brian Stelter. Et tu, Brian.
Was he just the crying emoji, Wojak?
I imagine he was. But I love that CNN had to put out an article, CNN fires Chris Cuomo. I mean, that must have hurt. But Chris Cuomo is the kind of globalist tool that thinks that you're not allowed to look at the WikiLeaks
and the dumps and things like this. The funny thing with Cuomo
Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say that this was a major loss for CNN because Cuomo was there, was the face of their news for a while. He was the face of their best viewed program.
Yep, he absolutely was. But CNN, and I love the way that Stelta puts this, CNN said that anchor Chris Cuomo has been terminated by the news, effective immediately. Why the scare quotes, Brian? Very, very strange. But but this came out because of his inappropriate levels of familiarity with his own brother, which was former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, whom he had interviewed numerous times. And when Andrew Cuomo was accused of sexual assault, apparently Chris Cuomo was advising him behind the scenes.
Not just that, I've covered this a few weeks ago. It wasn't just that he was advising him behind the scenes. He was actively going to other news sources and trying to find out information so he could alert Andrew ahead of time before it came out into the public.
Anyway, moving on. So it turns out that one of Chris Cuomo's producers, longtime producers, was a paedophile. Which I'm sure you covered as well.
Yes.
So he'd been there for literally decades, I understand. And he was...
I think he'd been there since... he'd been a veteran sort of in the business. But I think he'd been with CNN since maybe 2013, 2014.
Right, okay.
But
he's a veteran within the business.
Yes.
But he apparently bragged about luring girls as young as 7 to his home for sexual subservience training, which is unbelievably disgusting. Like, these are the people you work with, Chris. How did you not know about this? You know, you're cheek to jowl with this guy all day, every day.
And that's this guy went full Epstein and, like, had a private property specifically, it seems, so that he could just bring girls here.
Mad, isn't it? But this was John Griffin, who's, of course, indicted. And so CNN were like, right, okay, I guess we're going to regretfully have to terminate his employment. But this isn't the only pedo producer at CNN, weirdly enough. There is a second one, Jake Tapper's producer. Is also under a criminal investigation for basically the same reasons. Serious allegations involving potential juvenile victims, and detectives have been assigned to the Child Exploitation Squad. Again, how can you not know that these people are doing stuff like this?
And you mentioned Project Veritas. It's interesting that they're always so very obviously scared of Project Veritas, when all of this stuff always comes out. Because honestly, what would you have to fear if there was nothing that you needed to hide?
Well, this is the thing, right? These being a producer for such a major show like this is an important job.
Yes.
It probably is paid very well, and they have lots of staff under them. It's not like these people are... nobody's, you know, they're embedded in a hierarchy and they know it, and they're taking advantage of their positions. That's what's happening. But of course, this person was fired as well, regretfully, I'm sure. And on Saturday, Project Veritas dropped another video, door-stopping various CNN anchors and producers for comment. And of course, none of them wanted to say anything about this.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, they went to Wolf Blitzer, Anderson Cooper, Jake Tapper, and a couple of others. And obviously, none of them wanted to say a goddamn thing. But you can go check that out on... why is Veritas's channel? Don't know why it suddenly skipped my mind. But anyway, and just to be clear, you know, you've got people like Don Lemon who are accused of sexual harassment as well. The chap who he accused, who was his accuser, is a Dustin Heiss, went on Megyn Kelly's show and was just like, well, look, this isn't going anywhere. And I think it's because Don Lemon, he says, he's protected by the fact that he's an African-American gay man on television and I'm just some nobody.
I mean, sounds...
which seems to be the case.
Sounds legit. Sorry, did CNN have this as part of their hiring application or something?
Are they contractually obliged to be sex offenders?
It seems more and more likely every day, doesn't it?
It does indeed. But do you know what the allegations are?
With Don Lemon, no, I've not heard of these before today.
They're unbelievable, actually. They're not worse than the paedophile network rings that are being operated in CNN, right? But it's just... it shows you a kind of unbelievable level of arrogance from the people in these institutions, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, these people consider themselves to be better than the rest of us. You can tell by the attitudes when they're actually broadcasting.
Absolutely, clearly. This is why the impending fall from grace that they're all essentially facing is going to be all the more sweet, right? Because Heiss claimed in his suit that Lemon had put his hand down his pants, rubbed his private parts, and then shoved his fingers into Heiss's face.
Jesus.
How gross is that?
That's just grim.
What an absolute lunatic you have to be in the sort of frame of mind to do that to someone else. But again, how arrogant do you have to be and how secure in yourself do you have to be to do that? But anyway, so good news is that CNN's ratings are, of course, plummeting. They had a good beginning of 2021, but towards the end, they literally lost half of their audience.
Good.
Compared to the 2020 ratings, CNN was 40% down in primetime viewers and minus 48% in the 25 to 54 demographic, which is the one that matters.
Looks like Trump was paying the bills.
Yes. They're just a third down in total viewers across the 24-hour day period. And so it's going very, very poorly. And of course, there are lots of memes made about CNN these days. We can go to the post I made on Getter. This is just, you know, good stuff. You can get that up, John. Like, CNN may well call you a domestic terrorist, but they're child molesters, so, you know, they would say that. Is
a compliment coming from them?
Possibly, yes.
If they think I'm the bad guy.
You're a threat to our child trafficking network, you domestic terrorist. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not going to apologize. Anyway, so the next person who looks like they're about to get the axe is Joy Reid. Now, do you know who Joy Reid is?
I am familiar with Joy Reid, sadly.
If you're not familiar with Joy Reid, I suppose we can just call her a race-baiting Marxist agitator who works for MSNBC. So this is a thread by a chap called John Nicosia, who is the president of News Cycle Media, the former managing editor of Mediate, former breaking news editor at DC Examiner. So he's an insider in the industry. And he has been told by a source of his that Joy Reid is basically going to be given the Majid Nawaz treatment soon because she's apparently, quote-unquote, unmanageable. She's been hosting her primetime in the 7 p.m. Eastern time slot show for just over 8 months. And she was their first black female primetime anchor, which excuses nothing.
Well, of course
token not. Diversity hire.
Wouldn't shock me that she's unmanageable. Did you watch the interview she did with Chris Rufo?
I saw clips of it.
Yes, where she was insufferable, smug, condescending, and was just laughing at his face the whole time. So if she's anything like that to her producers, I can imagine she would be unmanageable. Well, yeah,
Chris Rufo being an expert in critical race theory, Joy Reid being someone who knows nothing about critical race theory, but understands that as a black person she benefits from this, is doing everything she can to promote critical race theory, and was insufferable towards
She had
Rufo.
Kimberly Crenshaw on as well.
Yes, she did.
And she was trying to diminish the Marxist influence by going, well, it's not really Marxist, is it?
Yeah, and then Kimberly Crenshaw didn't answer. She answered something else. We've covered it previously. But anyway, so John says that Joy Reid will lose her show in the next round of reshuffling at MSNBC, and she does not have a show come mid-spring. The decision has been made. The only thing left is messaging on the move, which will be the ratings, which we'll get into in a minute. As is the case for Chris Cuomo at CNN even, Reid has allies at Comcast. However, she is viewed by unmanageable as many and also similar to Cuomo. It appears those allies have found she has been less than truthful about past incidents, with more to come. Also, like Cuomo at CNN, watch out for MSNBC/Comcast. Defend her right until the announcement. And he had previously tweeted about this in November, and apparently this has been coming for quite some time. And so the reason is that Joy Reid is problematic.
I remember this now.
Yeah, she's been somewhat problematic, as this article from The Intercept shows. She had been, between 2007 and 2009, she was slightly less progressive on homosexuality than is the modern progressive. And she had repeatedly used, quote, ugly anti-gay stereotypes. So Joy Reid was based and red-pilled until she got a job at MSNBC. But she's also bonkers, though. And I think this is the important part. We can go to the next one, John. So basically, she during the 2020 coverage from MSNBC of what was happening, she called Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who is a black person, coincidentally, more importantly, I think he's conservative, she called him Uncle Clarence, as in a reference to an Uncle Tom, which is just gross.
Well, he's not politically black to her, is
no.
she?
This is the guy that Joe Biden tried to scupper his career when he was appointed to being appointed and confirmed to the Supreme Court. And of course, in typical Democrat fashion, they brought out some woman from like 30 years ago to say, he sexually assaulted me. It's like, just like with Kavanaugh.
Yep.
So you are just such gross and unoriginal monsters. But she's got some amazing takes. And I just love some of these takes because no one believes this. No one believes takes like this, right? She says, I'll say it again. People on the right would trade all the tax cuts for the ability to openly say the N-word like the good old days. people on the right aren't Democrats, you nutty. To them, not being able to be openly racist and discriminatory without consequence is oppression. Trump is the avatar for this freedom. She's mad, right? And of course, she compared the parents who were in their schools opposing the teaching of critical race theory to segregationists. Republican parents are like Democrat segregationists now. Enjoy Reed's backwards, baffling world.
She's and mental.
Yeah, then and this, though, is rather ironic given what the critical race theorists actually think. Again, if Joy Reid knew anything about critical race theory, she wouldn't say that, because critical race theory is founded on anti-integrationist ideology. If we can go to the next link, you can go and watch videos that I've done about this, which is the CRT Explained series that I'm currently working on. In number one, episode one, where we go through Derek Bell's initial essays in the critical race theory canon, where he sits there and goes, this integration is bad. What we need is segregation. That would be better.
Yeah, the explanations are very good, just because of how impressively explicit these initial writers are about it. It's not well, I mean, I was about to say it's not like Ibram X. Kendi, but even he's saying, oh, we need to fix past discrimination with present discrimination.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a cycle that will just carry on. Great.
Yeah, it's totally mask off, basically. And they're not shy about saying it. But anyway, so yes, in June 2021, Reed's ratings were terrible. So when she goes, if we can go to the next one, John, this will be framed around her terrible ratings. Back then, she was between adults of 25 to 54, she was only averaging 149,000 viewers, which is a good segment for us, you know, but yeah. That's her average of views. And she's on national television on a major news network. But come January 2022, they're even worse. They're down to 123,000 viewers. So her ratings, if you can go to the next one, John, have just collapsed. And so the question is, where is this ratings collapse coming from? And one rankings study has shown that it's down to a lack of trust. If we can go to the next one. Basically, Brand Keys founder and president Robert Piaskoff said that trust ratings tend to be associated with overall viewership. But I don't really see how he's come to this conclusion. If you can get that that little graph up there, John, right, that there, you can see that CNN began in 2018 with 69% trust rating, and that's gone up to 87% because of the coronavirus pandemic, and yet their viewer count is 40% lower than it was.
Well, to be fair, I can understand how that might happen, which is the people who didn't trust them that much have just migrated elsewhere.
Possibly. Actually, that's probably quite likely. The people who have remained have essentially become the cult-like NPCs.
So it's an echo chamber.
Yes. But the point is, it's a lack of trust overall. I should have got out the details of general public trust in the media, but we've been through it so many times, it's like this. Anyway. So the point of all of this is to say, well, look, where are these people going? What are people watching, if not the most trusted names in news? And the answer is a caveman on Spotify.
Papa Joe.
Papa Joe. He is absolutely massacring them.
Yeah.
In the ratings.
Bear in mind that Tucker Carlson is like leaps and bounds ahead of places like CNN as well. And even he's being demolished by Joe.
Yep. I mean, if you can get that graph up, John, you can see that the aside from Joe Rogan, the top five are Fox News, right? Tucker Carlson, The Five, Hannity, Fox News Primetime, and Ingram Angrell, all Fox News, right? And so if we take that out, what are they left with? CNN Primetime, which is less than 1 million viewers, MSNBC Primetime, which together is about 2 million viewers, and then The Rachel Maddow Show, which is another 2 million viewers. Joe Rogan's getting 11 million viewers per show. So he's literally three times more popular than all of the left-wing media combined in the United States.
Yep, and you can see the difference between those as well, where those people like Joe Rogan are facilitating open and honest free discussion.
Dialogue.
I know, which is
exactly... conversation.
Which is basically the exact opposite of what CNN is trying to do. It's trying to shut down anyone who doesn't say expressly what they want them to.
Exactly. Joe Rogan is to narrative engineering what, like, you know, explosives are to building. You know, like, he is absolutely, and this is a real problem for him. If you've got a particular narrative that you're trying to impose on the public, and then you've just got someone who's massively popular, like Joe Rogan, who gets someone like Dr. Malone on, you know, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine.
Sit there, get high, and listen to it.
And let him explain his position without calling him a bigot, then you end up getting massive amounts of energy expended to desperately try and counteract what they're doing. If you can go to the next one, John, you can see like the AP fact check, mass formation psychosis, an unfounded theory spreading online, I wonder where from, suggests millions of people have been hypnotized into believing mainstream ideas to combat COVID-19. Psychology experts say the concept is not supported by evidence. What are you talking about? I'm watching it. I can literally see it happening. If you can get to the next one, John, like you can see, like this is.
Just go on Twitter. It's obvious.
Yeah, I like any amount of direct observation of my own personal experience shows me there are a bunch of people who literally think that COVID is the worst thing that's happening ever, and will do anything that the state tells them to do. Right, and so they're like, well, fact checkers say there's an unfounded theory. No, there's plenty of foundation for this theory. We're watching it, which is why this, when Dr. Malone went on Joe Rogan, this became a viral meme. This was memetic. You know, oh yeah, it's mass formation psychosis. Agree. And we've seen plenty of, like, you know, viral clips of Leo and I did a clip of it the other day, the top 10 COVID wet wipes, like Karens screeching at people because they're not wearing masks. It's like, yeah, but you're just being a psycho about this. Like, yeah. This is genuine psychosis. There's no harm being done to you.
There's another funny thing as well, which is when the media latches onto this and tries to refute everything that Rogan says,
they're just
giving him free publicity. People watching are probably like, oh, well, this seems interesting. I might go check it out.
But also, it's the entire negation of all of the narrative has to be negated, which means nothing that Dr. Malone could have said is now true. And it's like, look, I don't believe someone becomes a doctor by literally saying nothing that's correct and true. Like, I just don't believe that. Like, you can say, well, this...
I'm sure even Fauci told the truth at some point.
Well, he must have done at some point, you know. But this is the thing. Like, they have to negate absolutely everything. And this requires an awful lot of energy. You know, you can see the media cycle sort of like all spring into action. So it's not just the mainstream news networks. It's like the Associated Press and various other, you know, the BBC and all that. But think of the amount of energy that Joe Rogan has expended on doing a 2-hour podcast with Dr. Malone. Not much.
Yeah,
it's just another day for him.
He's probably got guys who organise it all exactly. For him as well.
Oh, I know he does. Yeah, he's got, you know, people in the back who just organise it. Dr. Malone turns up. He sits down. He has a chat with him. That was fun. And then he goes off and hunts an elk or something, whatever it is he does in his free time. But look at the amount of energy he's costing the mainstream media. They have to now get their teams of fact checkers and experts to craft a narrative that has to be spread by, you know, literally thousands of people in this entire ecosphere. You know, they have to constantly churn this out until they feel that they're sufficiently on top of his narrative that it just took him 2 hours of chatting to create. Like, this is an unsustainable war of attrition for the media. They're ruining their credibility, their trust is low, and people are not interested in watching them. And Joe Rogan is just chilling out on his podcast.
Doing monkey impressions.
Just do the energy calculation of the thing, and you can see that this is not a sustainable business model. So we are looking, and you can see from the heads that have been taken, that the MSM is genuinely falling apart.
All right, then. Well, moving
on. As are other things.
Yes. Moving on to our last story in that case, about Bare Shelves Biden. Now, for all of those American viewers out there, I warn you, these next images might be triggering. They might be a bit distressing to you if you've been to a grocery store any time recently. So here we can see Target, Southern California, empty shelves. And this is going on all across the country, and there are many people tweeting about it and probably putting it on Getter as well, just showing, listen, I'm going to the shops, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
And this has been a recurring theme throughout the Biden administration as we've been going so far, and we're only less than a year in. So let's just take a cycle through some of these. So this next one, hashtag Bare Shelves Biden in Southern Pennsylvania. Once again, just bag salads, just food aisles, just completely empty and barren. Few bits of food here and there. Another one from Pittsburgh, Target, Aldi and Dollar Tree, all massive, barren, empty shelves. And it's showing Target, Aldi, Dollar Tree, these are a variety of brands. It's not just it's not just distinct to one particular store chain or brand. All of them are running out of products due to massive shortages that are going on. If we move along again, we can see Jack Posobiec's been commenting on this, putting a video here, Falls Church, Virginia. And you can see there just the spread of the whole place. There is just empty shelves everywhere, even behind
mad,
in the
though,
background. Yeah, that store looks half empty.
It looks Soviet.
It really does. It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then we can see this next one. This has all led to hashtag BareshelvesBiden trending on Twitter. If you scroll down a little bit there, yep, we can see that it was our number 27 politics, BareshelvesBiden, 8,726 tweets. And I believe that that's actually just gone up since then.
Yeah,
because people are just noticing this. It's really easy to try and spread a narrative when the narrative is abstract. Mm. But when you try and tell everyone everything is okay and they can just go into their shops and see, well, that's obviously not the case, it becomes more and more difficult to keep these things up.
Yeah.
But there have been a number of explanations given for this. So if we move along, we can see RT News here saying, hashtag BareshelvesBiden became one of Twitter's top political trending topics as Americans posted photos of empty supermarket shelves amid continuous supply chain issues in the US. Angry social media users displayed photos of empty supermarket shelves from across the US and blamed President Joe Biden for the supply issues, with one American complaining, "I feel like I'm in a third world country." And honestly, it kind of does look that way when you're talking about it looking Soviet.
That's because you are.
Well, sadly.
Like, look what Biden's doing. He's governing like he's a third world dictator. Of course.
Handing out executive orders, just saying, well, you do what I say because I'm in charge.
Persecuting the opposition. He's turning you into a third world country. That's what's happening.
Yes. And it is interesting because, as you say, America is supposed to be the number one top superpower in the world. And it's been brought to its knees in less than a year under the Biden administration. So anyone who voted for him, I'm hoping that you have at least some buyer's remorse or remorse of some kind for what you've done. Supporters of Biden shot back at the campaign, posting their own photos of fully stocked shelves.
Oh, wow. In local supporters of Biden, are there?
I know. There's some left out there. They've posted photos of their fully stocked shelves in local supermarkets and argued that similar shortages took place under former President Donald Trump. Liberal commentator Caroline Orbueno even went so far as to suggest that the hashtag was organized by robots and called on Twitter to look into how it was able to trend. Well, the photos weren't taken by robots, were they? Whoever, Caroline. And whether or not...
What a cope.
I know, right? And if there were similar shortages, they were probably in 2020 when the immediate lockdown started to happen, obviously...
People panic bought.
Yeah, people were panic buying.
I mean, we had that here with toilet paper. Is that, look, there's no... And literally, the supermarkets had to come out and say, look, there is no problem with toilet paper supply. There's no problem with
It's just demand is outpacing us.
Exactly. There's no problem with the manufacturing or the supply of it. It's just you're panic buying like idiots. That's what it was.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go into any shop and you could probably find one full shelf of something and
just
take a photo
thing,
of it.
Like, isn't it amazing how it's toilet paper that everyone panic buys? They didn't panic buy food. They were like, no.
They just assumed there would be a surplus of food, hence the need for toilet paper.
Well, I'll go hungry, but I'm not using a rag, okay? in the post-collapse world. Like, that's a very interesting set of priorities that we have.
Well,
sorry.
It's an interesting point, yes. The US has been plagued with supply chain issues, a rise in fuel prices, and heavy inflation since Biden's inauguration
in January
2021.
All Biden's fault.
Yes, last week, Biden suggested that he only became aware that the price of meat in the US had risen so much after a family friend complained that it now costs over $5 for a pound of hamburger meat. So this is the guy that you've got in charge. He's not on this enough to know what's going on until a friend will just tell him, oh, by the way, everything's way more expensive than it used to be. And he goes, oh, didn't realize. Mm. It's not like it's my job to at least be aware of
what's
going on.
Well, this is a compounding effect of him restricting access to oil and then flooding the market with money. Everything increases in price.
Interesting. We'll go on to some of the reasons that have been given, but one of the reasons that nobody really mentions other than RT in this is something that Hugo's written an article on, which I took a read of, which is very interesting, which is to do with the inflation, basically saying the Biden administration, I mean, all you need to do is look at graphs and see that the money supply in the US has doubled in only 5 years, which is just a ridiculous amount of money.
Isn't that like all the money that was printed, and then in the last 5 years, it's the same amount?
Basically, yes. Yeah. There was, I think it was $12 trillion in 2018, and now there's almost $22 trillion.
Unsurprisingly, this is why everything is costing you more money.
Yeah. So what that has led to is people have more what you could call money a token with mm-hmm. which to buy and trade goods with. Yeah. All of a sudden, everybody's got more tokens. They buy more before yeah. the prices can inflate to match it. And then all of a sudden, everyone's just got shortages because everyone's already bought more than they needed at the time.
And then if you combine that with the fuel costs, as in the fuel costs are how you get the product to the store, well, if that's gone up, then that's gone up as well. You know, so this is a compounding effect. And these are all due to executive decisions that Biden has made.
Yes. And if we move along, we can see what some of the mainstream reporting of this has been like, from The Sun talking about fears of meat and egg shortages after stores reported empty shelves in the US. Several American supermarkets are reporting incidents of bare shelves. Food chains have been one of the first to be disrupted by the new super strain of Omicron as workers fall ill and productivity drops.
Super strain.
So there we go. We're already setting the narrative. This isn't because of anything Biden's done or anything the administration has let happen. It's all because of Omicron. It's because everyone's just off ill.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that is one factor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's not the only factor and probably not even the major factor.
Well, that's the thing. If it is a factor, I believe that it's being inflated in its own way by other issues that we'll look into. Yeah. Only last month, President Biden delivered a progress report of the fight against the coronavirus pandemic as the new and highly contagious variant began to spread across the country. As the United States continued to see an uptick, Biden announced the addition of 10,000 COVID testing sites on top of the 80,000 already up and running. And the new sites will be established in the regions hardest hit by the latest wave. And the president also announced that his administration will purchase $500 million at-home rapid COVID tests for America.
It's your taxes, folks.
So how much is that going to cost? There's that deficit. Just keep digging.
Who's making the tests? Who's profiting from this?
I wonder. And once again,
as if that solves any problems either.
Is also the point as well that more testing means more asymptomatic testing, means more positive tests for people who are asymptomatic, because the tests are... I won't say much for YouTube, just in case. Are we allowed to say that they're...
Probably not, but so let's not. But the point is, you're exactly right. If you test positive and you're asymptomatic, well, now you can't go to work.
Yes, and that's a staffing shortage. Yeah. It means more issues with supply chains.
You're not sick and you're not allowed to work.
So that's great. And this isn't just affecting America either. If we go over here, we can see that Bloomberg has been putting out that apparently it's affecting Australia as well, because course there's the global supply chain to think of as well. So it's probably been knocking back there. In Australia, the supply pressures are most acute in New South Wales. New South Wales, I'm pretty sure, have had some pretty strict lockdowns in the past. So I wonder if this is just a knockback effect finally coming around to bite them in the arse. Populous East Coast state that includes Sydney. The state reported a record 38,625 new cases on Friday.
I can't believe those lockdowns didn't work.
How are those measures working
all
for you?
All of that tyranny and still this.
I know, that's up from daily numbers of fewer than 500 as recent as early December. So that's a massive uptick. I wonder if it's because you're testing more. The country's biggest supermarket operator, Woolworths Group, I'm shocked that Woolworths still exists over there, but it is upside down land, so said Thursday that more than 20% of employees at its distribution centres are off work because of COVID-19. In the stores, the virus has put at least 10% of staff out of action. Let's be certain about this. Off work because of COVID-19, testing. That's more than likely what it's going to be, because I imagine they're doing the same thing that we do here, which is that someone that you've been in contact with recently gets a positive test. Sorry, you need to take time off work as well, just in case.
It's mad, isn't it?
It is absolutely mental. And then if we move along again, it's turning out that people are just scared to work because of Omicron. This article from The Street saying there was a labour shortage even before the variant hit the US in December, as many workers were reluctant to take a job that might expose them to the virus.
Well, yeah, but that was only possible because Joe Biden was giving them loads of free money.
Exactly.
That's how they ended up doubling the amount of money in the economy.
Many have called in sick from their job due to quarantining, or have fears of infection, or a general sense that it's just not worth it. This has been the result of 2 years of just non-stop hysteria, fear-mongering.
But also managerial incompetence from the Biden regime, thinking that they can essentially engineer the world to be a better place, and look what they've done.
Yeah.
They've made it worse.
If we scare people into thinking that work isn't worth it and then print loads of extra money so we can pay people and incentivize them not to work, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. But also, if we start taking action against oil production because it's environmentally unfriendly, how could that backfire on us? You know, and then if you start imposing environmental restrictions in California, so, for example, like warehousing and the ships docking there can't actually move goods at the same pace that they had. Oh my God, now we have shortages. And it's like, look, none of this happened under Trump. None of this happened under the low regulation regime or administration organization that Trump had. Like, America was a net... Weren't they like a net exporter of oil under Trump?
I believe so. Yeah, they were in a surplus.
Energy independent, like, you know, wages were up, you know, hardly anyone was unemployed. And within a year, Biden has ruined that entire country.
And none of the administration is taking any responsibility for it. When there were those California issues with the ships docking and everything, I'm pretty sure Kamala decided to just fly off to the other part of the world.
Oh, yeah. And like when asked about like the problem with the border, because they had literally said, we're going to allow people in. And this was widely understood in Southern and Central America. And so they had to put out a statement saying, stop coming. We're going to treat you like Trump treated you.
Yeah,
you know, they had to do it because of their own mistakes. Like, everything about this has been a disaster.
And then, as you can probably tell by the fact that having to order loads of extra tests into the country so that they can make up for it, there is a testing kit crisis in America as well. I know.
Of course there is.
There's even a shortage on the testing kits.
But, I mean, my answer to that is, thank God, because stop getting tested. Just stop playing into this. Just go and live your life as normal now.
Yeah, but this article is talking about America is again facing a COVID-19 testing crisis as many people are struggling to find at-home kits. Scammers are profiting off fake rapid kits, so this has created its own element of the black market to take advantage. Hey, mate, you want some testing kits?
Amazing.
Yeah, and some regions are limiting who can access community testing sites. A massive winter surge in cases has fueled demand. More than 650,000 Americans are testing positive daily on average at about 7.7 cases per second. But
these aren't translating into deaths, are they?
No, of course not.
You know,
but with these tests in short supply, the true number of infections is suspected to be much higher. So you should be even more scared.
Yeah, just assume it's everyone. Assume it's literally everyone. Stop testing. Get on with your lives.
Be suspicious of your neighbors, plebs.
Oh, God.
Indiana is limiting who is eligible for rapid testing at state and local health department testing sites. San Diego health officials are urging residents to only get tested if they have symptoms.
Oh, that's sensible. So, sensible.
I know, but that just means that you've scared these people into the... I've seen it with friends of my own who are just going like, well, I'm about to go outside today. Oh, I better take a test just in case.
The absolute NPCs, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is the mass formation psychosis they're busy denying doesn't exist.
Yeah, and they're saying that don't trust your lying eyes on it.
Yeah,
I've got
exactly.
mates who are doing this.
Yeah, I mean, you literally, you've run out of tests because everyone's gone mental over this.
Yep. And some New York testing sites prioritizing teachers so they can keep schools open, which, you know...
Which they don't have to close. Yeah. No one's dying of Omicron.
And San Francisco will prioritize testing people with COVID symptoms over asymptomatic people. So once again, people have been put into a frenzy and are testing with no symptoms and pumping up cases, and then they're just going off work because they'll test until they get a positive test and go, well, guess I'm infected then.
Yeah.
But next, we've just got just the Hugo article, once again, why there are shortages everywhere, in which he puts in his penny for his thoughts on why he thinks this is all going on due to inflation and other such stuff. Interesting read, so give that a check out if you want. But yeah,
it's a very good analysis, actually. He's arguing that the money printing is actually an important part of the shortages as well. It's a really good article.
Yeah, but yeah, so America, sorry. Not much more I can say about that.
Apparently you voted for this.
Yep. Let's get on to the video comments.
So to all of the guys who keep screaming about manga and anime, why do you keep going back to all of the shonen stuff? This is like saying that Carl should get into books, but then you only talk about Harry Potter and other similar young adults novels and kids stuff and so on.
You read Harry Potter, Stu, in the Tree of Nothing? No, I haven't. I haven't read it, but I have read the complete works of the romantic poet and visionary William Blake. So, f*** off.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Once again, can I just say again? Right, people worry sometimes when you're not on, Carl. They're like, where's Carl? What's going on? If you want Carl to be on more often, stop talking about anime. Don't put it in the video comments, please.
It's not even that. It's just I have other things to do. Like, I'm currently working on a Matrix Resurrections script.
Well, I know that you're doing other things as well, but for the love of God, if you'd want to put you off coming onto the podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. So, this is me back in 2006. This is some of the shit I had to carry, and here's me being deployed, bunch of Iraqi guys, And I can say I haven't been there. At no point did I wish I could run faster and lift less. And the Marine Corps, our official motto is Semper Fi. Unofficial motto is, fuck it, call Artie. No running involved.
Nice.
No, I agree. I'm not a big runner.
Right. I'm sure there is a lot of smart people who watch this channel and some people who can code. And what they need to do is create a little app for you guys so that it can search through video files and find the word anime. And anything with the word anime is put in the recycle bin so we can all be spared this anime nonsense. Thank you.
Kind of fair, and this is coming from a guy who enjoys some anime. I will admit the rampant autism going on in the
discussion. Yeah, the anime gate, as this has turned into, is just...
We've got a swelling uprising coming from the commenters.
Why? Why do we have to talk about anime? We're busy talking about things that happen.
Just watch anime in your own time.
Yeah, exactly.
With the curtains closed and don't tell anyone about it, like a normal person.
Yeah, exactly. Do it shamefully in the dark on your own.
Like I do.
Yeah, like Aaron does.
Pranang da, Lotusiters. Hope everyone had a great Christmas and a happy new year. Watching Dr. Robert Malone on the Joe Rogan podcast talk about mandates, etc. was very interesting. And I was wondering if anyone in the UK knows of any planned demonstrations to coincide with the global Defeat the Mandate marches. You can find me on Getter at Ron Swansea. Cheers.
Oh, you're Ron Swansea. Oh, great. I think he follows me. So I was just it's good to put a face to the account. So thank you very much for following and commenting on stuff occasionally. I'm not aware of any big protests that are coming up.
I mean, there probably are some, but nobody ever tells me about protests that are happening.
That's the thing. They're probably good to follow accounts like Big Brother Watch, and probably actually Majid himself, who'll be keeping everyone up to date. I didn't know that you just weren't aware of them.
No one ever tells me. Like, everyone's
next time I see one, I'll keep you up to date on it.
And that's literally exactly how it goes. It's like, literally, did you see the protest on Saturday? It's like, no, what? You know?
And to be fair, I went to one on the...
John has literally looked, there was one last weekend. Well, you didn't mention it, did you?
Thanks, John.
What am I, a mind reader? Like, what?
I need people to do my house.
Anyway.
That's fair. Anyone who wants to volunteer to do John's house, let us know.
The Capitol is not hallowed ground. We have a First Amendment for a reason.
That's exactly the point I was making in the... In the podcast segment I did with Leo, it's like literally if you're an American and you come from the American philosophical tradition, the idea of calling a government building hallowed ground is sacrilege in and of itself.
Yeah, it's purely against the what should be the American state of mind.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Which is the individual is sovereign.
The individual is the locus of rights given to them by God. And imbued with the power to form a government of their own at their own choosing and can be removed at their pleasure.
As I said, a government of laws and not people.
Yes.
Whereas now it's very much people in charge.
Oh, yeah. It's very much the French view, which is the government is God and provides you with your rights. But anyway, that's the Democrats for you, isn't it? Mm. Dude, I haven't been wearing a mask anywhere.
Me neither.
I'm not carrying one on me. Well, no one ever mentions it.
There's a great thing, which is you can just go, I'm exempt.
Yeah, exactly.
In England. I don't know about other parts of the world, but it's very easy to in England. Actually, I got into a discussion with a security guard at Asda, who was like, oh, have you got a mask? No. I'm exempt. And he's like, oh, can you prove your exemption? I went, I don't have to.
No, I can't.
And he was like, oh, well, the manager says, no, I can get the guidelines up for you if you want. He's like, please, I don't want to get into a fight here.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? No one wants to, like, do anything about this. Like, this is what I've noticed. Like, no one even gives me a side eye or anything. I've seen a couple of people looking, like, enviously.
I wish I was that brave.
Yeah, just take your mask off, mate. No one's going to do anything. No one's going to say anything. It's okay.
Once again, I've got friends who I explain it to. You don't need to wear this. No. And they're like, well, I've got anxiety when I wear the mask. Oh, I've actually got asthma. It makes it a bit more difficult for
me to
breathe.
Sounds like you're exempt.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm just like, well, then
you're all exempt.
Don't wear it then. Yeah. And then they go, oh, but I probably should just in case.
Says who?
Mass formation psychosis there. Oh, I best just because.
Yeah, just don't wear the mask. You don't have to. No one's going to make you wear it. Nothing's going to happen if you don't wear it.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Go on.
So let's start off with our protagonist, Izuku. Now, Izuku is one of the rare kids who's born quirkless, so he's not got powers. But he wants to be a hero. Now, does he demand the rules be changed? That the standards of a hero entrance exam be lowered? No. He works hard, he pushes his body to the absolute limit, and thanks to a slight deus ex machina, he is gifted the quirk of this world's equivalent of Superman, and now he has to learn to control it through hard work and dedication. My Hero Academia, the Daddest Anime.
I'm not saying it's not interesting, right? I'm not saying there's nothing good about it. What I'm saying is it's gay, and I don't want to talk about it, right? I'm not saying you can't enjoy
it. Position.
I'm not saying it doesn't have good daddest messages. I'm glad it does, in fact, because my daughter really likes My Hero Academia as well.
Fair. So, like, no wonder he's sick of hearing about it. There it is.
It's just one reason among many.
We found the secret.
Right? No, that's fine. She, you know, I'm glad that she's watching something that's got good messaging in it. I'm just not interested in talking about it. Why are you torturing me?
Carl's secret anime lover confirmed.
Why would, if I liked anime, I'd just say, I play 40K, man. Like,
that's fair.
Christ on a bike, that's way less popular than anime. Like, I publicly play 40K. You know?
But how, empirically, how gay is 40K?
Oh, it's not. It's the most heterosexual thing in the world.
Well, there you go.
But, like, that's, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. I've been a proud nerd since I was about 13 years old, and I don't care. So if I liked anime, I would just be like, yeah, I like anime. But I don't, and I don't want to talk about it. So, goddamn it. Let's carry on.
December 7th, America, 1941. September 11th. 2001 and January 6th, 2021. Our thoughts are with all of the families lost a loved one. How will January 6th come to be remembered in the years ahead?
I tell you, I'm gonna put that out on my social medias, if that's all right, TF Allspark.
Because that was spicy.
That was a great edit, yeah, yeah. I mean, whack that in the shared drive.
Rachel, I can't believe she actually said that.
It's mad.
I knew on a certain level that
Pearl
they were
Harbor,
going to do
9/11,
that. 9/11. A bunch of guys,
yeah,
like staying in the Velvet Lines.
Someone stealing a podium and someone taking a dump on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Pfft.
I mean, give her a medal.
Who doesn't want to take a dump on Pelosi's desk? I mean, come on.
But it was
hey, Lotus
lady.
Eaters, coming at you with an anime recommendation. All right, first thing you want to do is get your anime. After that, throw it in the
oh,
trash.
Oh, thank God,
this
Hero.
This trick also does work with manga.
Hero. I don't know, but what?
He must
trash.
Have found them in someone else's bin.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. I'm still not caught up with the podcast yet, but it popped up in my feed that you were talking about the Russia and Kazakhstan situation. It's worth noting that around 40% of the world's uranium supply comes from Kazakhstan, so that might explain a little bit of Russia's interest in the region. Also, I've been following some due diligence for a little while here that suggests the value of uranium might be increasing quite significantly in the near future, for a variety of reasons, but might be worth checking that out.
Very much. I'll notify Josh.
Yeah.
He's been doing a lot of the Russia stuff recently.
Okay, so I know you guys like these time-lapse videos of people creating things, so I've made one that I can do. This is one of my invented languages called Middish, and it's spoken by the Midians, which are a central part of my novel Final Flight of the Ranagar. In this one, they're saying, men are men, women are women, if you follow your nature, you'll be happy. And the translation is, tel vori bimi vor, tel feam bimi fea, zarupsa tel avden til chilmein.
Wow.
It's a hell of a lot more effort than I'd put into anything.
Yeah, very impressive. We're just sat here talking about the news and we've got people making their own languages out there. Very impressive.
But I did enjoy the time lapse of you doing stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
I want to clarify a few things that is happening in Australia. Primarily the states and territories. First off, C.S. Cooper is right when he talks about New South Wales being the freest. However, this might be a temporal thing as we are heading towards elections in May. And if cases of the Shanghai shivers rises, then we might be put back in lockdown. Personally, I don't trust either major parties here.
Probably a good stance to take. I wouldn't trust either of them either.
No.
Guten Tag, mein Lotus Eaters. Do you not know that the longer you work here, the worse it gets?
Oh, it does.
Hey. Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines, the Washington Inn in Cape May. Built in 1846, the inn was meant to resemble Mount Vernon, the home of General George Washington. It's a high-end American restaurant that's currently in operation. It is also the home of several ghosts, including an old woman and a seven-year-old named Elizabeth, who sometimes appears in pictures with the guest.
Man, I could really do the Tom Hawk steak. Do you know what, right? I had a dream last night. In fact, I had multiple dreams last night.
Oh, we're getting into dream talk. Oh, God.
That I was dead and I was a ghost.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. So you were astral projecting last night.
Yeah, I was trying to talk to Pete. But unironically, right?
Pete.
No, and eventually I got Pete to recognize that I was there. But the problem with being a ghost was not, like, I wasn't really bothered that I was dead, right? That was okay. It was more that I couldn't do anything because, and it wasn't that you couldn't touch things. It was that you had no strength. Right, and so you,
oh, so it's proper dream feel like when you try and punch someone in a dream.
Yeah, yeah, but it was like, you know, so I could touch something, I just couldn't put any force on it, and it was just like, but I wasn't like deeply concerned about my own mortality in this dream. And things, I woke up and I remember waking up with a, and I was, oh, thank God I'm still alive, you know. And then I went to the toilet and went back to bed, and then the dream basically carried on where I was still
dead. Oh, really?
Dead. Yeah.
He popped it on pause for you.
Basically, yeah, and I was still dead in, like, this astral plane.
I think we need to check if Pete had any strange occurrences last night.
Well, yeah, I'm going to talk to him about that.
But to be fair, you bring up a good point. I always think to myself how horribly dull and meaningless it would feel to be a ghost.
Well, interestingly, right, in my dream, it had lore, right? It had lore about this. In my dream, I could tell that essentially what was keeping me tethered to the world was my will, right? And it was my will to stay in the world that was keeping me here. Because if I just, like, relaxed in my dream, then I would just dissipate. Pete,
oh my
was
God,
late
Pete
in the morning.
Was late this morning, yes.
Quite possibly I haunted him, yeah.
He had a case of the spooks.
But yeah, so according to my dream lore, if I were to relax, I could just essentially, you know, fade out of existence and disappear.
Fair play.
I don't know what to make of that.
Very interesting, I suppose.
It's interesting. I brought up ghosts. It's like, oh, I dream about being
You should
a
write a book on that.
Yeah, maybe. It came to me in a dream.
Source.
My fellow Americans, it is my honor to introduce lies and misinformation.
Fellow Americans, state the obvious.
About me,
personal gain over public good. Lies conceived and spread for profit and power. The election day is the day of insurrection. Mob who sought to impose their will through violence are the nation's true patriots.
This is what democracy looks like!
That was more lucid than he normally is, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But I tell you what, those speeches that they gave, unbelievable hubris. It's like, you think everyone believes that you're just like the avatars of truth and goodness?
Well, that's what they're trying to position themselves as. That's why they always call it our democracy. What they mean is my democracy.
Well, I agree, it's their
democracy. To be handed down to you when and if I feel so.
Yeah, it's I hate it.
Howdy, Lotus Eaters. Got a bunch of different little tabletop terrain bits I have. These are all scattered terrain that I've made for my different games.
They're awesome.
Over there.
I need to do
things.
This.
These two minis are for scale of size. This is my getter. I'll be posting more pictures of all this stuff individually.
Follow everyone,
along with other things I'm making. And these dice towers are as ones that, this is myself, this is my son, this is my daughter. And we have to use all these bits when we play games with each other.
I've got to make some terrain. I'm just using the sort of basic bitch Games Workshop terrain at the moment. I need to get some good terrain.
Nice. I need to get off my arse and start doing the Warhammer stuff again, because I've got one beautifully painted little figure that I'm really proud of, and I've not touched any of them since.
Is that the last one? No?
All right, so still it's a new me. So if you're wanting to get into the sport of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, before your first day, I'd like to say that you need to cut your nails, both your hands and your feet. Wash yourself because no one wants to smell you. And once you get your gi and all that, wash it after every practice. And wash it cold and hang dry it. It helps cut down on shrinking. And also that it helps cut down any kind of bacteria growth they have in there. And yes, also the belt too. People forget that for some reason. Wash that too.
Cool. Good advice.
Carl, what are your thoughts on the following? The California sentiment that illegals do the jobs Americans won't is terrible. It denigrates dirty jobs as undesirable, dismissing the masculine pride that comes from doing hard physical jobs that keep civilization moving. If true, then Americans are lazy aristocrats who no longer have the will to maintain their civilization, and define with importing serfs under the guise of kindness to do dirty jobs. It is also an insult to the people who are willing to do and take pride in dirty jobs.
I mean, what else is there needed to say? You've covered it all. It creates a two-tier class of society, a second class in society, who are the like untouchables.
Yeah,
you know, from India.
And I do hate the. I will say on my part, I hate the framing of, oh, they do the jobs that other people don't want to do. It's like, well, no, there are plenty of people who would do that job. What you're doing is you're just pricing them out of the market.
Yes,
by importing all of this, this foreign, foreign labor who are willing to just work for nothing.
Yeah, no, so, that's exactly right. Like if you bring in a bunch of desperate people who are willing to work for virtually nothing. Then yeah, like the young people who are supposed to do those jobs to gain life experience of working are now not going to do it. And the thing is as well, if you combine that with sort of like a bourgeois contempt of manual labor, which they do, then you're gonna produce a generation of people who are like, well, I'm too good for that. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, you have.
And then
we absolutely have produced absolutely. That generation. I'm part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have been part of it if it wasn't for my dad saying, get a job. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, but it is creating a kind of like aristocracy above the rest of the world, which is assumed to want to come in to do the serf work. It's gross. I really don't like it.
Yeah. Let's move on to the written comments then. So,
I'll do them. That's right.
Okay.
Alpha of the Beta says, even Carl's dream lore is more interesting than anime. The dream lore was surprisingly deep, to be honest.
You've got a surprisingly fleshed out, spiritual magic system, you could say.
Yeah, concept of what it is to be... I was as amazed as anyone else, because, like, in the dream, I was discovering this. And so, you know, like, I just died. I can't...
I don't know the bounds of my own genius.
Well, I'm not saying it's my genius, you know? All I'm saying is, like, I don't know how I died in the dream, but, like, I was discovering what it was to be a ghost. And I was like, no, I can press on things. And I realized that, you can, if you were to summon up a great amount of will, you probably could have exerted some sort of force, but like, I wasn't really that bothered. I just wasn't that upset.
Oh, you were just chill. I'm just chill, man.
Yeah, no, I was surprisingly chill as a ghost.
I think that was your ancestors revealing secret knowledge to you.
Maybe, but it became apparent in my dream why, like, a ghost who had died because of an injustice would be so angry and much more powerful than someone who just died just because it was their time, you know. But anyway, Henry says, what kind of uncaring psycho responds to, this group of people killed my relative and I associate the movement with that, but with, yeah, but you have to try, have you tried not doing that? Think of the words in the name. The just take their name at face value, bro, argument. If Hitler, Stalin, Mao had called their movement Love Cupcakes and Puppies, would James O'Brien support them? Well, I think he'd have no choice but support them, wouldn't he?
Well, that's
frankly
that's my interpretation of the whole thing. Is it's a mask which psychopaths can put on to make themselves appear virtuous.
Well, yeah, it's an appeal to abstraction, isn't it? And it's like, well, yeah, but in the abstract, these are the things that they claim to believe. It's like, yes, but this is why we have a phrase which actions are more powerful than words, because we know that anyone could claim anything and then do something terrible. What have they actually done?
Yeah, why do you think surveys are always so unreliable?
Hmm. Liam says, Majid getting axed is the final nail in the coffin of LBC having any kind of balance. It's clear that Nick Ferrari has seen which side his bread is buttered and has fallen in line. Just all mouthpieces for the nanny state now. Sheila Fogarty's show is like entering Hellmouth. Well, that's just it, isn't it? Majid Nawaz getting publicly axed like this is an example to the rest, which is what Ian Dale, oh, I now have to call out my fellow commentator. You know, the rest of them just shrinking back into their approved boundaries. But anyway, George says, Majid was somewhat questionable on the topic of free speech since he was in support of hate crime laws, from what I recall. Well, he's a Lib Dem. He also had a couple of spats with Romney Tomlinson, and he was a pretty cringe Remainer, but I'm glad he's not buying into the COVID hysteria. Yeah, but he was more open to Romney Tomlinson than most, I think.
I'm pretty sure Quilliam had some interaction.
They did, yeah.
With him. But, yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying that Romney covered himself in glory.
If all of those things are true, then then I disagree with him on pretty much all of those things. But you don't need to agree with somebody on every single thing to appreciate their work and respect them for their bravery and willing to speak up about certain things. And I think he's done a fantastic job in speaking up about COVID hysteria and COVID tyranny.
Oh, absolutely. And also being on point with the facts that are being left out of the narrative as well. And that's, I think, what his real crime is. Because, I mean, complaining about the civil liberties and stuff, like, they don't really care. They're going to let him do that till he's blue in the face. But if he then brings out, well, what about all these people who are dying from heart attacks all of a sudden, like in the podcast weekend?
Yes.
That's it. You're outside, you know. And you can see that the cathedral of Westminster is just, like, removing him outside of the blessed few. Anyway, the Minicus Monicus says, I got my vaccine pretty early on through my workplace before there was talk of vaccine passports and mandates, etc. Now all of this madness is going on. I actively refuse to show my papers anywhere, act politically unvaccinated, and won't get a booster either. Good man. Need to say almost nobody among my family and friends can wrap their heads around me being vaccinated and choosing to act if I wasn't. They seem to think I'm acting silly. Good thing I never cared about what people think. Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Well, it like really shows you like what the people around you are like. You know,
and I find it astounding that it's like, oh, nobody among my friends and family can wrap their heads around me being vaccinated, but choose to act as if I wasn't. But you're choosing to act as if you are vaccinated, as in you are immune to the virus because of your vaccination. But they're acting unvaccinated.
Yeah, but I'm not happy with this horrible, horrible dystopian regime that's being imposed. It's like, why are you okay with it? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm vaccinated. I'm a German, and therefore I don't care what happens to the Jews. You know, that's what you're saying. It's like, you know, this guy's like, well, I don't think we should put them in camps. Like, yeah, but you're German. Who cares? Well, morality. Anyway, English loyalist, are you the same guy I follow on Instagram, by the way? I bet this is eye-opening to Majid. The fact that powerful people will seek to shut you up. Still feel bad the guy lost his job because he spoke the truth. I agree. I will admit I do respect Majid for his stance on anti-Islamic extremism and the work he's done on grooming gangs, to be honest.
Yeah.
Something that is not pushed or talked about. LBC is really a terrible place, and I hope GB News hire him and give him a platform to talk. Well, I think that they either Talk Radio or LBC, GB News would be foolish not to get Majid.
Yes,
up.
I think you probably fit in with Talk Radio because of the format.
So. Yeah, I think so. Free Will says, the truth is the West is so polarized between competing political philosophies that the space for objective journalism in the mainstream has disappeared, and the establishment will not tolerate any deviation from the narrative. The establishment does not like its feathers ruffled, so it's taken action against a journalist who's actually being a journalist and ruffling feathers. That's true. Chris Bird says, these technocrats are so confident they will win, they have stopped using the usual 3 degrees of separation when it comes to who owns and runs what. It's all out in the open now. Don't worry, Brandon. We'll fill the shelves with bug burgers soon.
Oh, God. Okay. You can see it, though, can't you?
The thing is, I'm not even adverse. Like, I don't care. As long, you know, if... Like, it's not like, you know...
You're adverse to the bug burgers?
No. Not in principle, right? It's obviously, if they're like, here's a bug, eat it. I'm going to, like, get fucked. But the thing is, like, think about the way that your McDonald's burger is made, right? Have you ever seen it? Like, it's literally, here's a carcass, and they use a high-powered hose to blast the meat off the bone.
Yeah.
It's not prime steak.
That's
true. And yet it still tastes fine because of the way it's processed, right? And so it's fine. I don't eat McDonald's very much now, obviously, but, like, you know, I like McDonald's as much as anyone else. It's fine. And so, like, you know, okay, properly processed meat from bugs, I don't really care. You know, if it's processed in like sausage or something, like again, sausage meat, what the hell is in that? Like mystery burgers, you know? Like, and so it's not that I've got a problem with. It's the agenda that it's being done under and the way that it's basically a it looks like a plot to humiliate you.
Yes. And I was about to say that while I understand all of the points that you made, on principle, I refuse because I agree. I feel I don't want to be humiliated and let myself down in a sense by just going along with it unhesitatingly.
Well, no, that, I agree. Because, like I said, like I don't actually care that it's bugs. You know, like okay, but like you know, I've eaten a lot of stuff that isn't like nice. You know, like the sausages, hot dogs. What hot dogs are filled with like pig's anus and stuff like that. You know, like everyone eats hot dogs. You didn't complain. Shut up. It's not about your sensibilities there. What it's about is the agenda, I think. You know, a properly presented, you know, bug burger. Okay, fine. I don't care. You know, it might taste good. Who knows, right? I can't ever agree with the way that this is being done. But anyway.
Even if it wasn't attached to the agenda, I still wouldn't. Well, that's just me.
I had a chocolate-covered cricket a while ago, when I was in my 20s. Like, a friend of mine got at me as a joke, and so I was like, yeah, I'll show you. It just tasted like honeycomb. Like, it doesn't have a taste to it. It just had a texture. And it had the sort of texture of honeycomb, and so it was actually quite nice.
Fair. Well, John will tell you that I'm the most unadventurous eater in the world, so forgive me if I take a pass on the... Chocolate-covered cricket.
I mean, it wasn't unpleasant at all. You know, it was quite nice. And it was a nice texture because it tasted like honeycomb. But again, like, so it's not the actual bug that I think is actually the problem. The problem is the way it's being presented as a method of humiliation. Anyway, Speak One's Mind says, the most American thing ever done by Biden. Turn a blind eye to empty shelves and price increases until it affects the hamburger meat, then it's taken seriously. Well, everything's messed
up. Now we've got burgers. a national situation.
Fried insects is like crisps meets prawns. Yeah, I bet it is, you know. And again, you eat prawns? What the hell is prawn except a water insect? I don't eat prawns, actually. I love prawns.
Once again, I'm very unadventurous.
Yeah, sea insects, exactly.
It's got a face and it looks gross and creepy crawly, so I'm not putting it in my mouth.
Everything has a face.
Yeah, but not when I'm eating it, preferably.
But again, processed prawns don't have a face. They're just a chunk of meat, you know?
Eh.
They're
still,
good.
Still wouldn't.
Like, same with crabs, lobsters, you know, it's all just sea bugs, and we eat them, and I like them. So, you know, well, I don't know about
don't like much seafood either. Oh my God. You're not going to convince me.
Anyway, Thomas says, in Britain, if we see any of these supply issues, then the blame will be pinned on Brexit. Yes, that's the one good thing about Brexit. Watch that buzzword be for every cock-up the media and or government creates. At least America does not have that obfuscating factor. The BS is more obvious. Riss says, the fact that there are still people saying Trump is a worse president than Biden clearly shows there are too many progressives getting their parents to stop buy their shopping for them. As I say, I'd say that it's as bad in America now as it was 100 years ago during the Great Depression, but at least then, back then, most Americans realized that printing more money wouldn't work. What a time to live. Did you see the article that was going around? It's like, oh, well, one thing will fix all this, price controls.
No.
Embarrassing. That was in like the New York Times or the Washington Post or something.
It embarrasses me that so many people who are completely economically illiterate go, I know how to do, solve all the world's problems, and then regurgitate this garbage economic communist talking
points. Yeah, they just have no idea what they're talking about. But anyway, I think we're on time.
Yes. All right, then. Well, that's all we've got time for. Thank you very much for tuning in. Tune in again tomorrow at 1 o'clock if you want more from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. And remember to follow us all on Getter. Follow us on our individual accounts as well. For instance, I'm Harry at Harry Lotus Eater. Carl, you're just at Carl Benjamin, aren't you? Yep. So follow us all there for more updates and see what we think about certain things. So thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a great one.